think.
Monday, gonna take some time away before heading into final weeks of legislative session at the Illinois State House, which it's gonna be high-flying action. So hopefully you guys will stay with us throughout all of that. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Just follow me anywhere. Bishop on Air on X, Facebook, Instagram. I could probably post there more. But you can also find it right here with YouTube, Rumble, and elsewhere. Again, search Bishop on Air, and we can connect that way. Shout out to those in the chat room early this morning. Joseph, Huckleberry, Christopher, James, Joe, William, Rawhide, Warsaw, Brian, JL, Scooby-Door, John, Till Valhalla, David, Tattooed Squirrel. You guys are jumping in there early this morning. JM3. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody else. Dangerous Liberty. Appreciate that. Urging people to hit that thumbs up button. Good morning from the Peoria area to Jerry. Good morning. Shout out. All right. Appreciate you guys. I'm going to do one segment today. And we're going to look at the march towards ranked choice voting, which is kind of fascinating to watch this. We've been unpacking this as the Illinois Ranked Choice Voting and Election Systems Task Force has been meeting, and they've touched on all kinds of things. But it looks like their goal is to bring about ranked choice voting for the 2028 presidential primary. We just got done with the 2024 primary, and we're looking now in Illinois at possibly bringing about ranked choice voting just for the presidential primary is like a pilot program of sorts. But that's going to mean a whole bunch of other different types of changes to Illinois' election code. So we'll hear some of the most recent task force meeting that they've had, where we thought we were going to get a draft report, but apparently that draft report is still coming together. So we'll get to that coming up here next with Bishop on Air. Thanks for hanging out. A brief breather, and we'll be right back. Month's primary election resulted in 19% voter turnout statewide. 19%. That is the lowest since the last 50 some odd years. Some may point to that and say that's why we need ranked choice voting. Well, there's an effort in Illinois to possibly bring about ranked choice voting ahead of the 2028 presidential primary. Welcome back. I'm Greg Bishop. Thanks for hanging out. It's Bishop on Air. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And we're going to talk about the Illinois Ranked Choice Voting and Election Systems Task Force and some of their most recent conversations they had as they've been meeting this year to discuss the possibility of ranked choice voting for the 2028 presidential primary election. But I don't know if it's any more whether it's going to happen. It's how it's going to happen. So we'll hear some of that. But last week, the Illinois State Board of Elections, they released the official canvas of the March 19th primary election. And let's just take a look at their news release here. Voter turnout for the March 19th election was 19% according to the official votes total certified by the State Board of Elections last week. The official total showed 1.5 million of the state's nearly 8 million registered voters cast ballots in the primary, resulting in a statewide voter turnout of 19%. It was the lowest turnout in a presidential primary in several decades. We'll take a look at that chart that they highlight there. Democratic voters cast 891,000 ballots, accounting for 58.7% of the total. Republican ballots totaled 609,000 for a total of about 40.1% of the total. The only statewide office on the primary ballot was for President of the United States. President Joe Biden was the Democrat incumbent and winning that with 91.4% of the votes, while Donald Trump won the Republican primary with 80.5% of the votes. Voters in these primaries also selected delegates for party conventions from the state's 17 congressional districts. Also on the state primary ballot was 118 representatives and 23 senatorial seats in the Illinois General Assembly, 17 congressional seats in judicial races at all levels, including the 1st and 4th Illinois Supreme Court District. So really, while they say there weren't, you know, the only statewide race was for who was going to be the party's president, there was a lot of lack of competition across the state as well. We had talked about this. More than half of the state house seats that were up for grabs in the primary, the party was already determined, meaning if a Democrat was the incumbent, there was no Republican challenge. Even, you know, one Republican running in the Republican primary, let alone having choice in the Republican primary. So a lack of choice may have actually fed into that as well, which that raises a totally different conversation about how do we combat that? Is it a matter of, you know, diminishing the power of the parties in the primary? Is it maybe not having a primary as we've had, where you have to go to the polling place that's your tax dollars setting this up, and all of the millions of dollars it costs to run elections, and then you get 19% voter turnout? How do we address that? I'm not sure, but it's something surely people are going to be discussing. But some may be pointing to the low voter turnout as, hey, there needs to be more participation and we need ranked choice voting. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? But let's go back to this news release to take a look at the presidential primary turnout from 1972 to 2024. And this is by year in order. And it shows 1972, 40% turnout. All right. The highest turnout looks like it was a toss-up for second place in 1980 and 1992. But in 2016, you had 47% turnout. And then you see 2024 at 19%. 19% turnout. Now, they did break it out as well from lowest to highest. And there it is, 2024 being the lowest voter turnout in 52 years. Next to that was 2012 with 23% voter turnout. So clearly voter turnout is, 19%. Your tax dollars hard at work in all those different election jurisdictions to get people to turn out. So now let's take a look at the Illinois Ranked Choice Voting and Election Systems Task Force. This is a body that has people appointed to it who were tasked with looking at bringing about ranked choice voting for the 2028 presidential primary election. Here's Barb Lehman. She's with the League of Women Voters discussing about their thoughts on ranked choice voting and how it could possibly address some of these things like, you know, voter participation.
The League of Women Voters of the United States and the League of Women Voters of Illinois does not specifically support ranked choice voting, but more generally supports electoral methods and systems that encourage voter participation and voter engagement, encourage those with minority opinions to participate, including underrepresented communities, are verifiable and audible, maximize effective and minimize wasted votes, promote sincere voting over strategic voting, encourage high quality political campaigns by instituting process that promote discussion of issues and discourage mudslinging and dirty tricks. If RCV were implemented in Illinois, it would also accomplish In addition, eliminate election by minority, improve democracy by voter participation and engagement.
So interesting to hear some of the, while they don't support it, bringing about ranked choice voting would encourage voter participation. Some pushing back on that idea, though, especially when it comes to the possible confusion there could be for election night results. Because if you're not familiar with ranked choice voting, say you've got four candidates on the ballot. You're tasked as the voter to rank those candidates. Say you want candidate number two to be your top pick. Well, you would rank candidate number two as your number one pick. Candidate number four is your second pick, so you would rank them second, and then third, and then fourth. And then when the votes go to be tallied, there's, if your number one pick doesn't get on top, then the support from your number two pick goes up to whoever. It gets convoluted real quick, but apparently those who support it say, oh, it's no problem. People will understand this. So that, however, could breed more confusion and more voter disenfranchisement. And that's something that John Ackerman, the Tazewell County clerk, raised multiple times, as did others.
Having more confusion with ranked choice voting and having rounds run before all of the results are known would dramatically increase that confusion, that mistrust of our election process. And I think would do reputable damage to the process here in the state of Illinois. Yeah.
Thank you. Clerk Siebert.
I agree with John. I would caution against giving unofficial results on election night in a ranked choice voting scenario, because you're just going to confuse everybody when that changes. That's not why I raised my hand, but I do want to point out that we go through extensive testing both before the election and then after the election. I mean, we do pre-testing, we do public test, we do a retab, sometimes we have discovery recounts. All of that process would need to be addressed on how we do that in a ranked choice vote scenario.
So clearly still a lot of questions and more concerns about the confusion that could be built around election results. And will voters fully understand the election results, even if they are unofficial election results?
And I wish to echo Clerk Ackerman's comments with regard to the pace with which election results can come in and do come in. And I too believe that adding a layer of complexity, as we will necessarily need to do, will detract from what should be a stated goal or a goal of everyone, and that is to give everyone confidence in how the election is run and that the result is a true result. Illinois accepting ballots that will trickle in for 14 days is a victory for voters' rights. It is also the longest period of any state in the union. Even as we just saw rather amicably resolved in the Cook County State's Attorney's race, there are real concerns that arise when ballots come in via vote by mail after the election.
So again, 2 weeks after the election for when they have to count all those votes. Longest period in the U.S., John Fogarty says. That's why Illinois is being sued because of federal elections. I believe Judicial Watch has a lawsuit that's making its way through the courts, saying that it's election day, not election month. Illinois has, early election, we have grace period election, and then you have up to 2 weeks for the ballots to come in via snail mail, let alone the unchecked ballot harvesting that can happen from people going and grabbing ballots and just dropping them off in a drop box. So a whole host of things that may actually diminish voter confidence, while others say, oh, it's about ensuring that everybody gets the vote. So it's always good to see things from both sides here. But about those unofficial election results that everybody clamors for on election night, because people want to know the outcome of the election that night. There are countries around the world that have election day, millions of people vote, and they're able to tabulate those votes that same night. Other jurisdictions here in the United States, including in Illinois, yeah, we get some unofficial vote totals that night, but it's not official until the canvass is done by the State Board of Elections weeks after the fact, and that's with that two-week time period. So Fogarty, he continued to talk a bit about the unofficial results and how, you know, people look for that.
And certainly we can be in the business of providing unofficial results in a ranked choice system, just as we would in our current system. But ranked choice features additional complexity, it does, that not everyone understands. And I think that we will be detracting rather than adding to voter confidence post-election in close elections.
And I think that detracting from voter confidence is something that most people, I think, want to, you know, we want voter confidence, right? Yeah, local clerks want voter confidence. They're elected themselves, and they want to make sure that their electorate knows that they're handling the elections in a fair and transparent manner. But of course, you know, election night results are really just election night results that are speculated by the media. Something State Representative Katie Stewart said is really out of the hands of the official apparatus.
And then I wanted to, the problem with the unofficial results and everything else, to me, that's a media issue in our culture. You know, it's always the AP is reporting or whoever else is calling the race. It is not my local, you know, Madison County Board of Elections or my St. Clair County or even the Illinois State Board of Elections. And I think sometimes, you know, I don't think we can legislate to fix that, obviously. But I mean, I understand the concern is that the AP calls some race, you know, maybe when it's a little too close to call, and then it goes on and on for a week. And that's what leads to people's confusion. But I think that's, you know, irresponsible of our media. And I don't, that's not an irresponsibility of our boards of election. And I think it's, that's part of our job to educate our voters from all parties involved on this, the advocacy groups, ourselves as elected officials, not that you're not already overworked, but our county clerks who have to administer these elections. I think we all need to be constantly saying the same voice. Everything is unofficial until that final tabulation after the 14 days. So it's fine to speculate that this is the result, but nothing is official until that point.
2 weeks after an election. 2 weeks after an election. And again, there's jurisdictions around the world where they have the ability to count millions of votes in one day and get that election result in one day. Listen, mail-in voting happens in other states as well, absentee voting, as it's called. But, you know, those who request an absentee ballot are required to get their ballot in by election day, not 2 weeks after the fact. So, the Ranked Choice Voting and Election Systems Task Force, not talking about how to build more confidence. It sounds like they're trying to discover a upending of the election process that could, in some person's views, make things even more confusing. And again, that's the concern. But there's also the concern about costs and new equipment that would be needed. Here's some more of the conversation from a recent Ranked Choice Voting and Election Systems Task Force.
Anyone wants to respond to your...
Well, I think a major part of that would be if it is a statewide rollout, we would be looking at the state needing to fund all new election equipment, all new ability to be able to produce this. Right now, all of that cost is borne by the local jurisdictions, not by the state. that's different than where we heard Maine, Utah, others, where the state provides all of the funding, the local jurisdiction is not. In the case of like Evanston wanting to do it, my major question would be, how could one municipality within a much larger county dictate the equipment that is utilized by the county to run the elections? You would have to have equipment just for that one location, which then adds layers of complexity to how much equipment we store, how many backup units we store, the procedures and policies as we train our election judges. Sometimes we need to move election judges from one site to the next. Now I may not be able to move them because this election judge is used to this style versus that style.
Because what they're wanting to do here in the proposal is to have ranked choice voting only for the presidential primary in 2028, nothing else. So you'd have the standard system that we're all used to, you know, one person, one vote, you get two candidates and the one with 50% plus one wins. Or if you get three candidates, whoever has the most votes wins. It's not this, you know, your fourth choice support goes to the second choice support of your neighbor's votes, and it's calculated that way. So Ackerman, the clerk there, talking about how if you have a totally separate thing set up for the presidential primary in 2028, but everything else is the same, that's going to make things even more confusing, especially when it comes to equipment needs, especially when it comes to poll worker training. Abigail Drum is an advocate for ranked choice voting, and she dismisses those concerns.
The equipment part of this is like just not that big of a deal. It is so small. I think looking at worker training, like poll worker training and voter education, are very important things that should be considered. But the aspect of like, if we're looking at what needs to happen to do statewide implementation, we've all agreed, you know, voting equipment is important. And like, it's just not like we're very close to being there already. The legacy systems that are still in use really should be replaced anyways, because they've been out of production for at least almost a decade, and are not, you know, they should be replaced anyways. But there's not like a massive equipment replacement need here. And I think it's important to note all those. And I'm hoping that the State Board of Election can come back with some more information that'll shed light on HART, because that's the only one that we don't really have anything that's like very clear about what would need to happen with them.
So again, the election systems that are used to tabulate things, are they prepared? Are they not prepared? Meeting they had on Friday, they were talking about definitions of the report they're going to put together. But if right now, if you don't understand, Illinois has a decentralized election system, which makes it very secure in the eyes of election security experts. We have 109 different election jurisdictions. They're all independently run. They have to follow the same standards set out by state law, but they're all independently run. Sangamon County elections are run independently from Madison County elections, are run independently from Cook County elections, are run independently from St. Clair County elections. So you've got 109 different election jurisdictions that are running their own elections. It's decentralized. Makes it very difficult to try to hack the vote statewide. So if one county's election is compromised, it's not going to necessarily infect all of the other counties' elections. But with ranked choice voting, the proposal that's apparently on the books and being crafted, and this meeting, this task force, is just kind of unpacking some of the concerns there may be. The idea is to centralize it, with the Illinois State Board of Elections being the one that's tabulating the ranked choice voting votes. Abigail Drum, again, and a proponent of this, talking about how there would have to be legislative changes to make that happen.
Tabulation would be done at the state level, and so legislatively, that authorization to do that would need to be given to the State Board of Elections, because as has been noted, they do not have any authority to do any kind of tabulation as of now. So that is something that would need to be included in legislation. Again, I will emphasize, there is no reason we have to wait to do tabulation. And that if the results change, it's the same thing that happens now. with unofficial results that get put out, as sometimes the person who has the most votes on election night doesn't end up winning. That is, people understand that?
For the most part, yeah. I think that's correct. People do understand that, at least in Illinois, when you've got 2 weeks for ballots to come in, it can change. But in other states where election night, boom, no more votes counted after election night, people know who the winner is that night. So what's the goal of this task force? Again, a couple of weeks ago, we saw that they were going to put together a draft report. That draft report is still not together, even after 2 meetings last week. Here's State Senator Laura Murphy, who's a co-chair of the committee.
That's our point, is to list all of the issues, all of the steps we would need to take in order to implement ranked choice voting in Illinois.
So it doesn't sound like it's a task force to ask the question, should Illinois have ranked choice voting? No, it sounds like it's a conclusion they're going to have ranked choice voting. And it's just a matter of the task force developing all of the mechanisms to make it happen. Here is State Representative Maurice West, a co-chair of Ranked Choice Voting Task Force, talking about the current proposal they have on the table.
Current language for that our ranked choice voting bill allows for both parties to opt in to ranked choice voting. So it's totally up to them if they so desire. And at this point, both parties are focused on 2024, so instead of 2028, so we'll let them do their thing.
And we'll continue to watch what happens. They've got another meeting they've got scheduled, and I think they've got some time in the future where they're actually going to put together this final proposal to give to the Illinois General Assembly. But should we have ranked choice voting in the state of Illinois? Should it just be for the presidential primary? What about the delegates? Should they be included in that ranked choice voting? Because you're not just voting for the presidential candidates, you're voting for all the delegates to go too. How are you going to work that in? Or should it just be a totally different race altogether? Or should we just keep it the same and try to shore up other things to build voter confidence, especially with 19% voter turnout in last month's election? I get it, primaries, lower voter turnout anyways, but 19% is the lowest voter turnout primary in 52 years in the state of Illinois. All right, guys, long segment, but I think, these types of deep dives are important to look at where we're at and things. All right, appreciate you guys. We've got tomorrow we'll spend together, and then I'm off Friday and Monday, but then back at it next Tuesday with just jam-packed coverage of the Illinois State House. So like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. It is Bishop on Air everywhere. Find me on X, on Facebook, Instagram, and so on. We'll see you soon. All right, for real, guys, appreciate you. I think tomorrow we're going to just open things up and do a Discord conversation about anything you want to talk about, be it the status of firearm legislation, be it the where we're at in the General Assembly, the budget, migration, whatever you want to do. We can chat about that on Discord tomorrow for the entire show. So if you don't already join the Discord, be sure to find the link in the video description or go to bishoponair.com where you can find out the Discord links right there as well. Shout out to all those in the chat room this late into it. Boosh, Warsaw, Tattooed Squirrel, Phil, Aaron, I appreciate that. You got Nakuda, Keith, Mr. Sneed, good to see ya. Jim, you guys are pretty active in here. Bass Life 217, or is that Bass Life 217? Dangerous Liberty, JL, Trevor, Titus. Appreciate you guys. All right, I got to get out of here. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Don't forget to join the Discord. And you can sound off. All right.
from